Psalms in, we'll start in Psalms 29, Psalms chapter 29. I know the transparency this time is a little bit smaller than normal. We'll see if we can fix that a little bit later. But I'll just go ahead and give you got the notes in front of you, and I the actual blanks are highlighted, so you can go ahead and fill those up at any time you want to. Because I get to get going. If I get going, I'll miss those blanks. But if you get your Bible turned to the book of Psalms, we'll go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. We appreciate this fine day that you've given us. Lord, a beautiful, warm day. Lord, we thank you for spring. Thank you for that we're seeing life now. And Lord, from the long winter, Lord, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, that we may be renewed in our spirit, Lord. Maybe some of us are depressed, or some of us are bearing some very heavy load. Lord, we pray that you'd help us, that we be renewed today. New colors, beautiful colors, that we can see instead of gray and dark. We pray that you'd help us today. Give us encouragement, and as we listen to your word being taught, I pray that you'd guide us. Holy Spirit, please, as we, those that would listen, and Lord, as I teach, that you'd just have me to say what I need to say, and translate for me, for your people. For all of us grow differently, and all of us in different stages. And Lord, I pray that it'll be a blessing to all. We thank you for this study. We thank you, Lord, that we know your name. We know your name. And Lord, we called upon it, and we received you as our Savior, and we're saved. Lord, we thank you for that. We appreciate this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, I'm drinking out of the water. Man, Psalms 29, the names of God. If you can't see up here, it's in your notes. I'm just going to read some of this. The names of God introduction, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. For the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 113, 2 and 3. That is, let me put just a little bit of this. When we sing congregational singing, it's a good thing to sing. It's a really good thing to sing. It's a part of praising God. People get confused that be to worship God. Not necessarily. Praising. Giving him thanks. Proclaiming him. And showing the people. Sing and shout. You know, some of our songs have that phrase, sing and shout. They want you to be heard. So sing loud, you know. You're not singing a solo. And I know, like you said, if you ever sing a solo, you're singing it by yourself somewhere so that you can't even hear yourself. I don't want that. You want to sing. Sing out. Doesn't matter if you know the notes. I hardly know the notes, and they put me in the choir. So sing out. Sing. In fact, the first time that they found that I could sing, I can't sing. That's the first thing. That's the disclaimer. I can't sing. But my mother heard me in the shower doing some kind of, I don't know what I was doing. But sometimes I get excited and I sing in the shower. And so it led Pastor Seth know when we had a choir, and that's how I got in the choir. And now my voice has changed. I've gotten a little bit older. So I'm only 15, so my voice changed, and they put me in the bass. And now on the bass, it's so neat because you just have to go as low as the bass notes on the piano. You don't really have to say the words. You know, you kind of just have to grunt. So I really love that. I love that part. Okay, anyways, the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord means to be praised. Sing. Sing out. There's nothing wrong to sing. Introduction. Our God has chosen to reveal himself to his creating, through descriptive terms that define his nature and character. When we come to a fuller understanding of those names, we come to a fuller, clearer understanding of God, of our God. We are to know him. God help us to see our God in his holy name. Remember again, the tabernacle. This kind of fits right into it, and I love it. The tabernacle was a way that God has set up whereby sinful men can come and worship a holy God in a holy way. Well, thus, his name is holy. It doesn't change for his name. Remember when the scribes were the ones that were entrusted and given the duty to write the scriptures. And when they write the scriptures, they say that when they come to the name of God, they would either use a new lapel or whatever. They would use a different pen, per se, or a plume, instead of using the same old one they've been writing. They'll change it in reverence to a holy name. So we need to give God a reverence to his name. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that we can call unto him as his children. And by the way, you possess his name. When you say you're a Christian, that's something that's supposed to be wonderful. That's something that's supposed to give you honor. That sets you, per se, not above any other people, because we're all lost at one point. We were all sinners. It doesn't make you any better, but yet it gives you value, because you got the name of the Most Holy God, and that's supposed to make you holy. And remember that God's name is holy, and he has chosen to give that to us. We are to proclaim glory to his name. Psalms 29, so majority of this passage will be in Psalms, so we'll keep it there. Psalms chapter 29 and verse 2. Let me read it to you. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So there it was. We got the tabernacle in the second part, and now we're talking about the name of God. Give unto the Lord, the glory due unto his name. He deserves the glory. Revelation 4:11. He deserves the glory. We are to praise his name. We talked about it already. Go ahead and turn to Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and verse number 1. Let me read it for you as you turn. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Excuse me for a second. Verse number 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We need to praise his name. And in Numbers, you want to turn to Numbers chapter number 6? Keep your hands on Psalms, we'll go back there. Numbers chapter number 6. In verse number 22, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Remember, the children of Israel was God's chosen people. God chose Israel. And in essence, we say in America, not to be prideful of anything, as a nation, we chose God. See, God chose Israel as a people. But as a people, we chose God. And even so, when you become a Christian, you chose God. Like I said before, at the latter part of my teaching in the tabernacle, that in essence, we're in a courtship mode. Because the church is the bride of Christ. And someday, and even now, because the Bible tells us we already sit in the heavenly places. In God's eyes, we were as if we were in heaven already. We can't fathom that understanding because we're finite. We can't particularly understand that. We're limited in space. We're limited in time. We can only be in one place at one time. And so we can't understand that. But God, in his mind, we're already up there in heaven. We're already enjoying his presence, in a sense, in heaven. We're already having a good time. But see, we can't understand that, but we can. We can. We can understand that. God gave us the Holy Ghost. He's always here with us. We might not be able to hold his hand, per se, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And that's wonderful. The Bible, you know, people say, well, I got a law inside of me, the war. But you got Jesus in you. That's a law itself. If you can just get that idea that Jesus lives inside of you, God himself lives inside of you, that should keep you from a lot of things. It'll keep you from a lot of things you don't want, and it'll keep you to those things that you do really want. You know, people say, well, he just wants to do his own thing. He just loves himself. You know, we say people that go and do their thing, go away from God, per se, and enjoy themselves. Really, in retrospect, they don't enjoy themselves, and they don't really love themselves. Because you see, if you really love yourself, then you love God. Because all the benefits. There is no benefit living a simple life. Except for this. You have to pay for everything. Yes, you may enjoy it, but you have to pay for every single thing. Whereas in the Christian world, living with God, knowing Him, and living with Him in harmony, everything's paid. You enjoy everything. It's wonderful. So go ahead. We are to place His name upon our children. We should be proud, in a sense, glad that we're Christians. And the last thing, we are to promote joy in His name, Psalms 33. Psalms 33, if you got your fingers there, Psalms chapter number 33 and verse 21. Psalms 33 and 21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Holy name. And yes, I can rejoice. I'm saved. I trusted that holy name. And the name is Jesus Christ. You know, that was a debate because they didn't know it back then. In the Old Testament, they didn't know the name Jesus. Not until John 1:1, John chapter number 1. And then it talks about Jesus. That was His name, the Christ. They knew Him as the Christ. They knew Him as Emmanuel. They knew Him as the Messiah. But they didn't have a name. And then the angel said to Mary, "You shall call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin." Names have meanings to them. So it'd be a neat thing for you to find out what the meaning of your name. Maybe some of you will be shocked what the meaning of your name is. Maybe you shouldn't look it up. You might be discouraged. No, I'm just kidding. Most names have a good meaning to them. Like my mom's name in the Philippines, I just use as an example because I know it. See, I don't know this and this. I know a few names, what they mean. And my mom's name is Milagro. That means miracle. That's her name, miracle. I know my name because I'm prideful and I know all about myself and I need to work on that. But my name, Chris, it means Christ bearer. I think Nathan means the gift of God. So there's a lot of different things in names. You should maybe look it up yourself. Find up a book. I think there's a book that sells it. Or make up your own name, whatever your name means. And tell us about it. If you're full of yourself like me. No. But there is a meaning to name. Names are wonderful. Isn't it wonderful when you hear your name? You know, statistically, a human being responds when you give them their name. In fact, there's so many Chris's around, when you go to a fellowship and somebody says, "Hey, Chris, yeah? Oh, sorry, it wasn't me." See, names are wonderful. You should treasure your name. It's wonderful. You know, we got the story of Naomi. He said, "Change my name," because her name was fruitful. Change it to Mara, bitter. There's meaning to names. Back then, their names meant something. I know of a fellow, a Filipino fellow, his name is Democrito. That means democracy. Who in the world would name their kid Democracy? Like, but you have to understand what was going on at the time when he was born. It was a martial law. And it was a bad time in the Philippines during the Spanish conquest. And so they wanted democracy. And that's what his name was, Democrito. Some of your names might mean something because of the place and the time that you were given all throughout the Bible. Manasseh meant something. Ephraim means something. I just don't know on the top of my head right now. But each name had meaning. Had meaning. Remember, Jacob was changed to Israel. God put a lot into names. The Bible talks about it's rather to have what? A good name than riches. I'm paraphrasing that in Proverbs. A name is wonderful. And so we're going to look at the name of God. We're going to look at the names of God. Okay, let's move on. The names of God. The names of God. People often ask, what is in the name, or what does the name mean, or where did you get that name? I always tell people, Chris, is that because that's always been called Chris. I don't know what else would call myself. And sometimes people give you nicknames. The Filipinos love nicknames. I don't know why. There's a girl there, I don't even know her name, but her name is Sugar. And you say, what in the world? A Filipino girl named Sugar. Well, she grew up in the sugar cane. They were sugar cane farmers. So the dad nicknamed all of them. One's Sweetie, one's this, and her names happen to be Sugar. So that's how it works. from the foundation of creation, man has found comfort and security, fear and despair, encouragement and oppression because of this accountability to a name. And by the way, it gives you accountability. Remember when you were younger, or even now maybe? Even though I'm 24, I still get in trouble with my mom and dad. We still go in the back shed, and they still pick up the stick. No, they don't do that. Sometimes they probably wish they do. But when I get in trouble, and we're all lined up, maybe I broke something, and nobody, my parents didn't know who it was, and they'll go down by the line. And if he didn't mention my name, I love it. But if my name comes up, I turn all red. I can't lie that well. So some people think so I can, but I probably can if I really tried hard. No, but when you get your name called out on an assembly and you did something wrong, what normally happens, you turn all red because of shame or guilt. Or, and another thing, maybe wonderful, like they did to me last week. Really, really wonderful. They put a picture of this beautiful young lady and an ugly picture of myself. And then they go, hey, you're courting in front of everybody. So that put like a red face in your face. So it could be wonderful, it could be good. But the name is wonderful. It's precious. It's precious. You're glad that your name is something that could be pronounced easily. I was going bus calling, no offense to any race or anything. Please, don't think I'm doing that. But I have a hard time with black names. I cannot pronounce their names. I don't know what they do, but I can't pronounce their names. I have a hard time. One girl was, I think, Shanae. I can't even say it now. Something like that. And I was slaughtering it. Like, I was slaughtering it. Horrible. Mexican names, I have a hard time, too. Puerto Ricans, even. I don't know what they get their names from. But it's crazy. It's crazy. In the Philippines, they have some weird American names. I don't know. They say it's American names, but we don't call our people like that. It's really weird. But names are wonderful. And it gives us accountability. Throughout man's history, upon this celestial globe, names have been used to identify individuals for masses and to reveal to the outside some truth of the inside. When the God of all creation chose to reveal himself to man, according to the written, recorded revelation of his word, he chose to reveal himself through attributes of himself by name. And so that's what we're going to learn. In all of his name, there's an attribute. There's an attribute to it. So we find ourselves needing to know him. And then because of that, needing to love him. And then because of that, needing to serve him. It's a lot easier to serve somebody you love. It really is. It seems like it's a lot easier to sacrifice for somebody that you love rather than somebody that you don't. And it is a Christian thing, by the way, to still love those that hate you. So don't put that to thing, but it's a lot easier to love somebody that loves you. It's a lot easier to serve them. So in this, we need to know the Lord, love him, and then ultimately serve him because of love. Not so that people can look at us and say, well done. Not so that we can walk around and be prideful, per se. So that we can walk around and say, I'm pleasing the one I love. I love him, so I'm doing this. In order to accomplish these tasks, what, to know him, to love him, and to serve him, you must first be able to identify him and locate him. Man, that feeling, as soon as I called Elizabeth, I'm sorry, I'm going to use her a lot. I can. That's my personal experience. Would you bear with me with that? But when I called her the first time, it was different. Because I was presenting to her, hey, this is different. This is not friendly anymore. This is like serious stuff. And I could hardly breathe. And for the first time, I had, I think, a girl speechless for 20 minutes. You know, Bible tells us to be silenced for 30 minutes or for a span of a half an hour in heaven. That's when all the ladies stopped talking. Yeah, I said that because Elizabeth, I know, can stop talking. If you just tell her the right thing. See, it's not the lady's fault, gentlemen, that has the problem. I think it's us. We just have to tell them the right things, and they won't have anything to say. Identify him and locate him. The Bible tells us that he knows, we know his voice, that he knows us. He knows us very, very in detail, intricately. He knows us. He knows what gets us mad. He knows what makes us happy. And isn't it funny sometimes, even maybe you're not praying about something and something happens that you were thinking about? That ever happened to you? Like a heart desire, well, I want this to happen. You didn't necessarily sat down, maybe kneel down or put it down on a piece of paper necessarily, or maybe fasted for it necessarily. I'm not saying those are good. In fact, those are wonderful things. You should do those things. You should pray and maybe fast and for things, because some things don't come by praying and fasting. But sometimes you just talk to somebody and it happens. You know who you need to give the glory to? It's not coincidence. You know who you need to give the glory to? To our blessed Lord, because he's watching over you. He's listening to what you're talking about. The Bible talks about in Malachi, that's the last part of the Bible, and in the Old Testament, there was men that was talking, just talking to each other, fellowshipping, and God would answer their prayers. See, that would be neat, like, you know, Brother Gannon likes to pray, and some of you guys likes to pray. That would be neat, we just fellowshipping, you know, hey, you need to pray for somebody like this, and God answers it. That's wonderful. That's just God showing you, hey, he's watching over you. He's listening to every word you're saying. Illustration, phone calls, wrong number. You don't want to have a wrong number. You can't call everyone. Too bad you don't know their names. I have a hard time with that on the phone. I've been calling now to get meetings to go, you know, to show my work. And I'm calling people down south. Man. Like North Carolina, South Carolina, no offense again to the people down south. They're wonderful people. If you get to know them, they'll fill your belly with good food and they'll sing to you wonderful songs, but it's hard to understand them sometimes. I'm calling this guy and he's saying, okay, where's the road you're from? Merwood. Like, yes, sir, what's that? Can you spell that? Yes, A-M-U. Like, well, slow down a little bit more, then I'll be done for 20 minutes here. I just got the name of the road of your church. So, you don't want to do that. You want to be able to identify. You want to be able to locate. You know, remember the story in Mary, resurrection, John chapter 20. And Mary and a couple of the other Marys. There's a bunch of Marys. It's a good name to actually find out what the Mary means. I'm going to do that myself, since I'm the teacher. Mary. Remember Mary went to the tomb, the resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, Christ rose again. And remember what Mary mistook Jesus for? As the gardener. What made Mary recognize who Jesus was? When Jesus finally said, Mary. And she said, Rabbi, Master. It's neat when somebody you love or somebody you know calls you. If it's daddy, you're in trouble. Normally, when I was going to the Philippines, I know when my mama gave my first name and second name and last name, all in a nice, good tone. That means I was in trouble. Christopher, he didn't say it that way. Christopher, Topeng, Aaron Baran. When I heard that really clearly and loudly, man, I'm running. I ran a couple of times from her. But I wasn't smart enough. I knew that I was going to get hungry and I had to get back home. And she cooks good. And so while I was eating, she'll treat you nicely and then grabs you. Gives you a whip. So the goal, like again, the goal is this. To know him. To know him. Paul said that. I mean, we look to Paul and say, man, he's probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And you know his goal was? That I may know him. The main goal that Paul had was that he may know him. Know him. I'm trying to bring it down to our level. I know he's infinite. There's no possible way we could all understand everything about God. But we can know him a little bit here. And then in heaven, it'll be wonderful. He'll reveal things to us. It'll be just wonderful. And by the way, he revealed things to us when we read his word. When we listen to preaching. He, the Holy Spirit, reveals Christ through his word, through his preaching of his word, and we get to know Christ that way. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, God likes to play hide and seek. Did you know that? He really does. He likes to play hide and seek, and he's good at hiding. He's a big God, but he's good in hiding. And he likes you to go after him. There was a story, and I'll tell you this, and we'll end with this maybe. This is the introduction. We'll go to Elohim next week. But the pastor that I pastored the church that I went to college at, when they first got married with his wife, he's passed on now, he's in heaven. But his wife, when they first got married, would hide on him for, I don't know, unbeknownst reason. She would hide in cupboards. She would hide in, under pots and pans in the kitchen. And he would say, I don't know how in the world she could actually do that. But he would. She would do that. And he would get frustrated because in the ministry, you're getting started. He just started a church. There's a lot of things going on. Maybe he doesn't have financial stability yet and they have to maybe have a job on the side. And then obviously when you get married, it's a good thing to have children. It's one reason you get married, to have children. And and so they were having children, a couple of babies here and there, 4, 5, 7. They ended up with 7. But so at the beginning of his ministry, he would have to work. And then after that, you know, in the ministry, you'd be helping those people in the church. A minister means servant. So you minister. Obviously, you can't help everybody mold everybody's lawn. You can't be the plumber of everybody's house. You can't do all of those things. But maybe widows that can't really do it maybe once in a while. Before you get men coming to church that will be able to do those things. Like maybe say deacons. That's why they set up deacons to help the widows, by the way. To help them with their carnal things. Meaning their things on toilet needs to be done. I don't know if the Jewish people had toilets back then with running water. I don't know if they had shower little things. I don't know if they put molding on their, I don't know, on their windows, whatever, blinds maybe. I don't know what they did back then, but whatever things that they need. Man, I'm really static here. I'm going to go back on this side. But they set up the deacons to do those. So he is whipped and tired from helping all of these people that he's trying to minister to and trying to start a church from the grounds up. He'll go home. He'll like to see his wife, wouldn't you think so? With a big smile on her face, all prettied up all the time. And just the hair is just wonderful. Like, yeah, right, that ever happens. No, I'm just kidding. No, man, I'm getting in trouble. Some of these people are writing down notes. I heard of a plan that they're going to try to give Elizabeth when she comes here for the first time. They're going to give her all the bad things about me. So I have to be careful what I'm talking about. Anyways, she wants to see his wife when he gets home. Tired. That's a haven. Your home is a haven, a place of rest. And so he comes to his house, and his wife is nowhere to be seen. Nowhere. At one time, his wife locked all the doors, locked all the windows. So he's outside yelling. Woman, not woman. Okay, when I say woman. Saying, Mona, that's her name. Mona, where in the world are you? It's 12 o'clock at night. Where are you? And then the pearl of the next door to them is the assistant pastor. And he, at the moment, he thought the teasing, joking, anything like that was against God. It was sinful. And he come out and opened up the door and looks at him and said, Pastor, that was his assistant pastor looking at the pastor. Pastor, what in the world are you doing? Yelling your wife's name outside in the middle of the night. He said, Bob, it's all right. We'll be fine. It's just having moments with my wife. So he went back in, he's yelling and yelling. And then obviously, you know, she'll go open maybe a window, and you have to find out which window was open, and goes inside, and then finally finds her, all of this mess. And then she would have the biggest smile on her face because that he found her. Well, that's what God wants to do with us. He's always there. See, Mona, Miss Mona knew where her husband was. He was outside because he was a bad boy. Maybe didn't provide groceries, didn't buy her favorite dress that she wanted. No, I'm just kidding. But she knew where he was, but he didn't know where she was. See, God knows where we're at all the time. But he just wants us to make sure that, hey, you really want me? You really want to be in my presence? You already need to get to know me? Let me see if I can hide, see if you're really going to be serious about it. And if you find him, he'll get the biggest smile in his face. If you find him, he'll be so happy. It'll be so wonderful. You know, because if Mr. Thompson would have actually said her name and said, "Hey, I'm tired of playing this game, get out here," she probably would get out. But she would not have that big smile. And he said he treasured that. Every time he found her, he would imprint that look on her face in his mind, and he could always remember it. It's special. They can talk about it now and have a good time with it. And God wants to do that with you. He wants you to look after him, find him, seek him, look for him, find where he is. All right, that's the introduction to the names of God. We've gone to a page and a half. This particular lesson has 6 pages. I'll tell you this for sure. I'm going to go a little bit faster. I wanted to just get the introduction and get us calmed down for a second.